Una intervista alla signora Flavia Luisa Vissat sulla vita di suo marito Peter, che era nato a Frisanco il 29 settembre del 1929 e arrivato qui nel 1949 negli Stati Uniti, dove peraltro già viveva suo padre e i suoi zii. Il signor Peter Luisa Vissat, per molti anni presidente della famiglia Furlane di New York, è morto a Frisanco il 23 agosto del 2000. Adesso segue l'intervista alla signora, che ci parlerà della storia di suo marito e della famiglia di suo marito, che proviene da Frisanco. Ok.
Can I ask the questions or not?
Oh, well, about the story of the family of the Peter's family in Frisanco, if you remember the tales of.
Well, I'll start with Peter's family. His mother and his aunt, his mother's sister, and his grandmother actually were in Germany for quite a while. They had a business there. What it was, I'm not quite sure. Excuse me, but they did have a factory of some sort. And during World War I, they had to move very quickly to get away from Germany, since they were Italian. And so they left and went to Friuli.
Coming across all right?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's the point where they came back.
Okay. Yeah, mother and aunt from
Peter's
Germany.
Grandmother and the daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Grandmother's daughters. All right, so they came back to Friuli, and after a while, she had a restaurant, and it was very, very nice, typical Friulana. And she got married to another person. The reason she did is because her husband had an accident in Germany in their factory, so she was left a widow, but she had continued with the business. All right, they're back in, excuse me, back in Friuli, in their restaurant bar, and very nice, and
where, in Frisanco?
In Frisanco. Oh, yes, still there. Mm-hmm. Still there, but of course, renovated very nicely, and the family still owns it. So it's quite nice. And his mother was in the post office. She was a postmistress, or whichever you want to call it, postmaster in Italian, too. The office was in her home. At first, they had lived in a small house, and then when she got married, my mother-in-law, they had a nice big house that had been left to my father-in-law by his family. And she had a post office set in there so she wouldn't be leaving the house. And that's it. Then first came Peter, and then came Giancarlo.
But Peter's father was working in USA with the brothers.
Yes, primarily in the United States.
Hmm.
Whether he was actually with his brothers working or not, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
He might have been working for a firm. In fact, for a while, I believe he was also working for Palomino.
Yeah, but he was a terrazzo worker in Pennsylvania, you told me.
Yes.
In a little
and also
town.
Chicago, he moved around.
Yeah.
When we were in Chicago, he was also there.
Mm-hmm.
So he moved around, you know, as well. But his family actually lived in Bridgeville, Pennsylvania.
Bridgeville.
Mm-hmm.
From the 20s.
I assume.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was there for quite a while. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he was an American citizen, so I'm not sure actually if he became a citizen after he was there, or if he was even born there. I'm not sure about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what about Peter's experience
You told me he graduated in Italy.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. He graduated with an accounting degree, a junior, but he never really pursued that avenue of work. He had to come to the States when he was, could have been 1920, I'm not too sure about that, when he actually came. But he had to come here in order to keep his American citizenship. So once he was here, he stayed around for about in New York and also working a bit. And then he was drafted into the Army and he went to Korea.
Mm-hmm. You told me you met Peter
in college in
1949.
That's correct.
Why Peter was frequenting the college?
Peter was there to learn English.
Mm-hmm.
He must have had a bit of it, I'm sure, because his dad spoke English as well as Italian. But he went there to learn English, to mm-hmm. be better, you know, with that language. And that's how I met him, at a tea that they gave. I met him at a tea that was given by the college for foreign students who were taking classes there. And that's where I met Peter. And after that, we started to go out. And we went out for a little while. Peter had thoughts of getting married, but I was a bit too young, and he realized that too. And it was after that that he was drafted into the Army.
Hmm.
And he was there for about 2 years. Maybe not quite, but about 2 years. And
from
we continued to write. All
from 1951 to
1953? It could be. I didn't put down dates. I just lived.
Yeah, he was fighting in Korea.
In Korea. Oh, yes, fighting in Korea. And in fact, he evidently did his job very well, whatever it was. And he became sergeant. And then when he got back from there, we saw each other again because we continuously corresponded. And so we saw each other again. And then shortly after that, he asked me to marry him, and I said yes, and we were married in 1955.
Hmm. And before the marriage, he was working in a company called Port Morris?
Port Morris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing what?
Same thing.
Yeah.
It was tile and terrazzo and granite. He always stayed in that particular field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then from Port Morris, he moved to Talamini company?
No. Talamini was before Port Morris. Port Morris is here, based in the Bronx or somewhere.
Yeah.
And Talamini was in Kentucky.
In Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you told me that after the marriage, you traveled in Illinois and then?
Working. Yeah. Illinois, Maryland, Virginia, Pennsylvania.
And the building in Chicago?
The Prudential Building.
Prudential.
Yeah, they did all the work there that involved flooring, tile, or covering for the walls, whatever it was that they wanted, always in that particular area.
And did Peter build his own company?
Yes.
Yes,
when? He started his own company. Now, that's a good point. It had to be in the 60s, and it was called the Vassette Tile Terrazzo Incorporated. That was his company, until he, let's see now, it must have been maybe when he started to get sick, that he closed up the company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and my my son, who had been working with him while I was here, went to Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And you were back in New York when your second
Child
was born.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But not here in this house.
No, in another one.
Yeah, my
in
parents.
In Bronx.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in 1956, when Adrian was born, you were in Chicago.
Correct.
Yeah. And then in 1959, when Carla was born, you were again here in New York.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm. And what about the membership of Peter in Famille Furlane of New York?
It was like forever. I mean, I believe it was probably once we were here that he really got into everything, because otherwise it would be a little more difficult living with my parents. Mm. But I think it was then that they had an office, club office, whatever, down in the city.
Mm. In Manhattan?
In Manhattan, mm. Yeah. And as I say, he started as treasurer, and then from treasurer they voted him into the office of president. So, and that was in the, had to be in the late 60s, because he was already president in 79, so maybe it was the beginning of the 70s.
Like
he was already president at that time, yeah, so I think it was about, he was president for a long time.
Mm. Yeah. Do you want to speak about this experience and association of immigrants, free-running immigrants?
Well, you see, there were so many that did come over as immigrants, obviously. There was a family, especially the mother, I'm not sure if the father was still around. They have a restaurant in New York City called Martin's. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
All right. And from what Peter used to tell me, that she always helped those who came in from Italy. They could stay at the place. I think she gave them like a bed and board, but whatever, helped them out.
Mm. Like a boarding house.
In a way, but it was small. It was not a big thing.
In the Second Avenue.
Between Second and Third.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so she was always very, very helpful, and always helped those that did come in, even those, there were a couple of them that jumped ship because they didn't want to go through security, or customs, actually. And I don't know who they were, so it's no different. But she helped everybody that could, she could. And she also helped Peter a lot with the earthquake. She donated her money and time to Fiuli when they had the earthquake. So she's a really nice person. But these, you know, he would speak to me about those people that always did a lot for the Friulani. And I can't say too many did, but
another question about you are staying in Friuli with Peter. You traveled several times to Friuli.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, the first time I was in Frisanco, Peter was introducing me to the townspeople, and the women would come to me and say, "Oh, you're not like us." You know, what do you mean? "Oh, you don't have red cheeks like we do." And I thought to myself, thank God, but that was okay. Women were more difficult to get closer to. The men were very nice, very friendly and outward. Not so the women. I did not find it easy there at all. It would have been nice to be able to know a few women so that every time we went, that I knew I had friends that I could see and talk to and all. It didn't happen that way. But, you know, I can't blame them. That's the way it was, and they were always a little bit wary of foreigners, and Southern Italians were, to them, foreigners.
Because you are from Naples.
Yes, I was born in Naples, and I came to this country when I was 3.5 years old, on the Rex.
On the Rex?
Yep. you would like me to continue in what?
Yeah.
Well, going back to Friuli, I know one thing is that at that time, the Friulani tended to have their own way of cooking, or they used to integrate French cuisine, the sauces and all that, which I was not crazy about and I didn't like. Today they have some marvelous restaurants. They cook extremely well, and I'm glad that you know, they kind of woke up to good cuisine. But I don't have anything bad to say about them. You know, they're good people, but they tend to be a little close and keep to themselves. Again, as I say, the women more than the men. Otherwise, nobody ever did anything bad to me. That's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And what about the family life of the Pissat family in Frisanco and in Italy?
Well, Peter and I, even in Frisanco, when we were there, we moved around in the town, outside of the town. We used to go to, excuse me, we used to go to different these towns around Frisanco, you know, Casasola and Navarones and a number of the different towns, and we liked to move around. We didn't only stay in the town.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, that was about it, because Peter loved to travel, he loved to see things, so that's what we did.
Mm-hmm.
My son Adrian and daughter Carla both went to Catholic elementary school in the church that's not far from where I live. And when they finished school there, I could not get my son to move on to a Catholic high school because I think he had some bad experiences with some of the nuns, I have to be honest.
And why did you choose the Catholic school, elementary school?
You know, I really don't know exactly what prompted us to go there.
Mm.
It just that we used to go to church there, and it just seemed like a good place to be.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I even volunteered my time when they first started going to in the lunchroom and, you know, around. Mm. And I liked it. I knew the priests, and they were good people. And
did Peter and you go to the church?
Yes.
On Sundays?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. St. Aloysius Church in Great Neck. And we used to go every Sunday. Yeah.